Good morning, Patriot Pals. Welcome back. I am back in New York. I'm very excited today to have on a man that I've gotten to know over several months on tour. And what a lot of people don't know about these amazing Reawaken America tours and other tours that we go on is there are the firebrands, there are the amazing frontline doctors, there are Lindell and General Flynn and Patrick Byrne and a lot of amazing patriots. But we also have singers and artists, and we have our amazing America's poet, William Owens, who is becoming the respite in the middle of all of the all of the fanfare and love of America. We bring on our amazing poet who always lights up the room with spirituality and love and faith. And I'm so excited to finally have him on the show. Thank you for joining me, William.
Thank you so much for having me, Mel Kay. It's exciting to be with you to share what God is doing through my life to touch hearts, to touch minds, and to touch America.
Yes, I have to say, when I first met you, that you walk around with a light around you. It is certainly something that is needs to be seen. And I have listened to your poems in tears at our our events, because I know that they're coming straight through you from God. And I think that everyone, especially people that regularly travel with us, but also regular attendees, really look forward to your segments in the shows, because it really brings a level of spirituality and creativity that I think is unexpected and kind of always seems to change the whole energy. So I wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about who you are for those who don't know you yet, and how you ended up becoming not just America's poet, but also General Flynn's poet, because the last event, you had that amazing poem that you wrote for General Flynn, and then, you know, the creation behind it, where you had the big, beautiful picture with the poem on it, and I was so blown away, so I wanted to have you on to discuss. So why don't you tell my audience a little bit about yourself and your journey, and how you ended up being on the front lines with me?
You know what? I tell you, first of all, let me just say kudos to what you're doing, Mel, the sacrifice that you are paying in order to do what you do, to inform people, to educate people, to inspire people. So I just want to thank God for your zeal, for your commitment, and for your excellence at what you do. And it's a blessing, and it encourages me. It really does. When I see people like you out there sacrificing, and that's what America was all about. It was about those who came to this country. They sacrificed, they risk it all. And until people like you are willing to risk, we can't have what they had. And that's why we're losing what we have.
Right.
And so thank God for you.
Thank you. And it's been a tremendous pleasure to bond with you, because you have a true gift. Your talent is off the charts. And so where did your journey start of wanting to participate? Like I always say at the events, I don't care. God gave everyone a gift that they can use to participate in this movement for God and country and to save America and literally the world. And how did you get to this point? What is your background and what inspired you to jump into the movement with us and really lead us in a spiritual sense on the road?
You know, it started probably 10 or 12 years ago. I never expected to write poetry. I've been writing poetry now for about 6 or 7 years, and I've written over 1,500 pieces. And the poems knock on my heart, and God says, I have something for you. And I simply humble myself and receive. And so I'll get back to that in a minute. But okay, I started with this movement. Well, it was already in me, and that was to stand for truth. I consider myself a kingdom man, a believer in Christ. I stand for truth. That has to precede everything. It's not even about conservatism. If you don't have a root of truth, then what do you call yourself being a conservative for? What's your base? It's not even about patriotism before truth. Right. If you have truth, it's automatic that you're going to stand for what America was about, because we were founded up on these principles. We couldn't have the Constitution without truth. You can't have what we have without truth being the axiom on which everything exists. So for me to get involved was a natural flow of things. And I saw God directing me into this way, and it's been amazing. I actually toured years ago with the Tea Party Express, the bus that rolled throughout the country. I wrote a book back then called Obama, Why Black America Should Have Doubts. That's my book.
I know
it. I actually put it back out because he's very much in control of what's happening today, at least a part of what's going on.
Right.
And so that's how I got involved. But it had been a while since I've been back involved. And I was at an event and someone told someone about what I was doing. Right. And the someone they told was Clay. And they said, Clay, you got to see what this guy is doing. He's amazing how he's touching people through poetry. And so Clay reached out to me, invited me to what would have been the second event for the Health and Freedom Tour,
right.
Which was in Grand Rapids. I think it was the second one or third one. And so I've been attending ever since. And it's really been a blessing to people and a blessing to me to be back in that arena at such a time as this. And so your question about America's poet, I mean, what nerves, right? What nerves do I have? What would give me? Well, it started in 2016. It started in 2016 when a sad football player took a knee. We know why he did. Right. And so when that happened, a poem came to me, words came to me, America in Trouble. And it's actually in my second book of poetry called Poems for America.
Yes, I have that book. And I'm going to put all your links below because I'll tell you what, when you're feeling down and you're feeling hopeless and you're feeling like we're losing the war, which we're not, God we're wins not. This. You and I both are clear on that. But some of your poems really can turn everything around. And, you know, that's amazing. So keep going. Yeah. But I wanted people to know that they really are not that they're, you know, it's just it really keeps you rooted in truth and hope and faith. But go
they
ahead,
do.
Because I love them.
And some of them, a lot of my poems really grab you. They confront you. They confront your heart. Right. You know, these are not words that are written in a way to entertain. They're written in a way to expose. And the first heart that's exposed is my own.
Right.
You know, there's a piece of me in every poem. It's not all of me, but some of me is in each one, because if it doesn't come through a channel that can relate, people can tell when you are not being authentic, you know? And so back in 2016, I wrote this poem, America in Trouble, on September 14th. All the poems are dated in this book, by the way. And I wrote a poem every day for 50 days. Okay. You know, every day, because my heart was so troubled with what was happening. And I can't remember the day, but I do know that I wrote a poem called The Rhythm of the Leaves. It turned out to be my mom's favorite poem. Yeah. And I was sitting on the porch and I noticed the trees in the distance. You know, when you see trees in the distance, when they're blowing, they look all uniform. You don't see an individual leaf, but you see them moving together. So they had a rhythm. And God gave me that poem, and it's turned out to be one of the staple poems that people know me by.
Yep.
The next day I wrote another poem, Prayer as an American. And then I wrote another poem and I just kept writing. Well, when I finished writing, it was voting day.
Okay. Wow.
It was time to vote. And that was the day that everyone rallied around President Trump, and he won. And that last poem I wrote that day closed that season off. And obviously I was moved by God to put it together as a book. And it came out as a book. Well, when I finished it, it was a whisper in my heart, you are America's poet. I'm like, nah, come on, you know? Get away. And so I said, America's poet, that has a ring to it. Let me see who is truly doing poetry. America'sPoet.com. Nothing came up. I said, oh, okay, they're just not doing anything with it. I went to the registrar where you buy domain names. I typed in America's poet. .com comes up and it says available. America's poet, really? .com available, really? Okay. And so .com, .net, .org, I bought all three. And that was enough for me to believe that that had been reserved for me for God's purpose. And so that's my website, americaspoet.com. That's how I came about to be America's poet. And to this day, a lot of poems I write are very patriotic. And it really came together in a unique way, because that's been about 5 or 6 years, okay? Right. It came together in a unique way when I heard General Flynn speaking, and it was a quickening in me that God was going to give me words for him. And sure enough, that day in Kentucky, him and I were both on the program. You were there. I got a lot of pictures of you that day. And so I walked up to him. I said, it was our second time sharing. I walked up to him. I said, General Flynn, God just spoke to my heart to write a poem about you. He took a step back and he's like, a poem. Okay. I've heard a lot of things in my career, but I've never heard that. That was the look he had on his face, right?
I know. He's so great though, because he's genuine. So he really was like, really?
So genuine. He said, well, okay. He was humble. Right. And a few days later, it came together. I was sitting on this beautiful porch at a getaway area in Kentucky that someone had invited me to that event to rest. Right. And because, you know, I travel in my RV full time.
I know. It's awesome.
I'm in an Airbnb right now because my RV is getting tire service. So I can't be in it while they do it. So I've been here for a little while.
Oh, wow.
So usually I'm doing my interviews in my RV, but
I know.
And so
I love your RV. So, I see you pull up. I'm like, he's here. Yeah.
And sure enough, I wrote that poem about General Flynn. It's blessed a lot of people, and people can check that out at americasgeneral.com. Can you believe that website was available? When I finished writing the poem, okay, it's like, I was sending him a message or something. I was doing a video and I said, this is William Owens, America's poet, right, and you are America's general.
Yeah.
It just came out and the domain name was available. So we took that and built his site and it has his poem on it.
Yeah. And you also presented a beautiful painting with the poem on it and a picture of General Flynn. That really is, it's like, that is 1776 today to me.
Wow.
And I love that. And I know that people wanted them left and right and wanted that, they you presented it actually on stage to General Flynn. And I saw him get a little, for as tough as he is, we know he has a real soft side. And I saw him just so touched. And that's what we're bringing. And that's why I also wanted to discuss with you, a lot of people out there, because of how this society has been set up, a lot of people that had creative passion and have that inside them. I'm also a writer, different kind of screenwriter, but it also comes through me. It's impossible without God. But a lot of people have these passions and they ignore them, or they've been in this debt slavery model where they don't have time or they don't have the confidence or any of that. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about the process. I know it comes through you, but there had to have been a moment where, for the student, because I know now you want to go out there and help other people find their voice.
Wow. You know, poetry. I do. Oh my goodness. I don't believe you're asking me this. This is so awesome. This is so awesome.
Well, people have to find that connection. It's more than just poetry. People are scared of, first of all, everyone thinks I can't write poetry. I've heard this my whole life. I'd love to write poetry. But the truth is, it's you have to also be fearless and not worry about the outcome. So can you tell me a little bit about that for those people out there that they have poems in their head, they have it in their heart, but the idea of actually executing the putting it down on paper and putting it out there for public consumption to heal is something people, I think, fear. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, in fact, I was at a church this past Sunday and a young lady came up to me and she said, are you doing any classes or courses about writing? And in fact, one of the things I'm preparing to do is just that, doing an online course
to help people
write. And in fact, I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make this announcement. It's a pre-announcement. Okay.
Great.
We're coming out with a beautiful book of poetry called Poets for America.
Right.
And it's going to be a compilation of 200 poets who present poems that are for America. And it's going to launch in about probably a couple of weeks. And so more information to be forthcoming.
Great.
But to your question, you know, no matter how much a gift that a person has, and any athlete will tell you this, you know, you can have a talent, but you have to use it. You can have a gift, but you have to use it. A gift is only good if you open it and use it. A person could give you a gift on Christmas, right? You can say, I have a gift. And you sit it on the shelf, but you never open it. You never unravel it. You never take it out, right? And then you never use it. How many children get excited about a gift, right? They open it up. They say, oh, look at my little what I got. They put it on a tree. They look at it several more times. And then, you know, they forget about it.
They're over it.
they're over it, okay? And so it's kind of like we write our first draft, we write our first poem, and we're like, and we become so critical of ourselves to where we think it's about us and not about the gift. We're a channel for that gift to flow. So to your point, you know, it's about opening the gift. It's about using that gift. And when you use that gift, you become more familiar with that gift. Not familiarity in the sense that you become prideful and you think it's about you, but you yield yourself to the giver of that gift, and that's God. And any gift that comes from God is, first of all, good. Mm. It is good. And that gift is to work good. And this is when we begin to realize why you see so many artists in Hollywood who have been accosted, and they are not even, they're not even owners of themselves, let alone their gift. Sure. And that's why they use their gift in such a way that does not bring good. You know, you look at the council culture today, and they're told what to do. If you want to be sustained, if you want sustenance from our hand, this is what you're going to do with your gift. And they use that gift to deceive the masses. For those who want to use their gift to bless, first of all, that gift wants to bless you. You can't find a water hose that waters the grass and don't get watered itself. Okay, so you have that gift is going to bless you. And out of that blessing, you're going to be yielded to God. It's good. It's beneficial. It's designed to give hope. It's designed to give love. The theme of my poetry is hope, love, and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And if we don't grasp those things, then what good is our gift? So for those who are artists, whether you write, whether you sing, whether you dance, whether you draw, whatever your artistic expression is, and I believe we all have something, because yep. God is just not boring. He's going to give somebody, he's going to give each of us something to express him and for us to express ourselves other than just through talking, okay? And a lot of people just haven't opened their gift. They haven't opened it. A lot of people look at me and say, you're just gifted. But they say it in a way that says, that's why I don't do it, because I'm not gifted.
Right, you know? Exactly.
And that's not the case. So that's my word of encouragement to people who are artists, who want to understand how to take hold of that. And every gift has benefits. You know, when you have a gift, when you have something that benefits you and it benefits others, that gift gives back in return. And this is why so many people, hence you've heard the saying, starving artists, like artists don't make a living with their art. Well, they can actually, you know. The key is you don't believe it, so that's why you don't.
Right.
That's the difference. But I've never let that rule dictate how I live. And I've written 16 books. I travel, I share my gift. And now I'm launching a series of worship experiences. And let me know when you're ready for the name. You're going to love it.
I'm ready.
It's called Naked Poetry. Laying bare my heart before God.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm gonna attend anything. I feel like everyone can use creative direction, but also yours comes from a really spiritual place that I think is empowering. It empowered you, but I think when you speak, what you're trying to do, and I've heard you, because you're also an eloquent speaker. You the way that you also present the poems is so powerful. And, you know, but I always hear out of what you're saying is you're trying to empower the person who's hearing the poetry or who is reading the poetry to empower themselves. It's often very motivating. You know, the Bible and everything was written a long time ago. These are more modern writings that also have a very spiritual aspect. And I know that a lot of people at the events, they want to meet you after and talk to you. And I think that mm-hmm. you give people the encouragement to seek their own voice.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love the fact you bring up the Bible, because even though the Bible is you know, old as it is, it's so new.
I know.
It's so relevant.
You can't even make it up when you look at the Bible now.
Can't.
I read the
you
whole
can't.
Thing again,
it's,
like in the last 6 months. And
yeah, it's,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It constantly gives. It constantly speaks to us. And so when we recognize this and we acknowledge it, there's always something that we can obtain from the Word of God. And I mean, even the simplest of a psalm, you know, a psalm.
Right.
It's going to speak to you. That's what I love about the Word of God. It's going to speak to you. Now, what you do with it is up to you, but right. It's going to speak to you. it's going to speak such relevance. And so in terms of people finding their way, that's what the Bible has done for me. Right. I mean, when I talk to young people, I always challenge them, read one Proverbs a day, just one.
Right.
Don't read five, just one, because it's going to give you some wisdom. It's going to make you say, oh,
right.
And, you know, and it doesn't matter what our age. So, yes, the word of God is my inspiration because Christ speaks to me through his word. And it's true. You know, it's true. So that's the beauty of it. And those, I want to say another thing, too, for those who have gifts. You have to discipline yourself. Pick a time. It doesn't mean that it has to be every time, that time. It doesn't have to be 3 o'clock every day or 6 o'clock every day. But that would be good.
Right.
But the key is take the time to let your gift flow. Right. Okay. Whether it's 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, and just show up. It doesn't mean you're going to write anything, but you show up. And when you show up and show up in contemplation, perhaps it's just about contemplating and wait till you're moved. I don't chase it. I just let it flow to me. Let it come to me. And a lot of times it just happens in my own laying bare my heart before God. That's right. When it happens, you know?
Right. Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm a screenwriter, or was, and I will be again. It's a big undertaking, but I have to tell you, I have the same thing. The discipline is key, but that's also part of the Bible and God and discipline. Like you said, the gift without the commitment and the discipline and the regimen to set that you set up, it's kind of like a ritual, a traditional thing that you put into your day. And then also when you're on, when you're in it, it's like you're in another place. And I know every time I finish a screenplay, you probably feel this way with a poem. I'm like, I don't want to give that. I don't want to get out of this bubble. I've been in this bubble for like 3-6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm at home in this bubble. And then you kind of have to put it aside and let the next thing come to you and then discipline yourself again. And it comes, but when you're in it, it's such a spiritual thing for me writing that it starts to flow and it's not even you anymore. And I know that that's with most writers I know and people that write songs too, because any of your poems could also be songs.
And I've been told that so often.
It's true. It's true. And I think that that's something else. Now, one thing that I do want to ask you about that you're probably not asked about a lot is there's been an intentional, I would go back to Common Core, but even before that, dumbing down of our society, our kids, our colleges, all of that. And I think people have lost the importance of what I believe is the pen to paper mental exercise that is so important. Because even if you look back and you look at anything that Thomas Jefferson wrote or Ben Franklin or any of these people, including, you know, everyone that over time that has had anything that was lasting and relevant still today, written, you know, hundreds of years ago, back to including the Bible and other. And I wonder what you think about that. We have two generations, I feel like right now, that not only were dumbed down on purpose and not taught history, but the importance of pen to paper, I think can't be stressed enough how much that's connection, right?
It is so important because when you're writing, you have to think. You have to arrange. That's not the same when you're plucking.
Right.
Okay. There's something about the hand and the mind, because between here and here and my hand, there's a process taking place. There's a process taking place. You're exercising a dynamic that you can't get nowhere else. It's very spiritual and it's very unassuming, but that's a connectivity when you write. And I love writing. I don't write as often as I used to, but I write. I make it a part of what I do. And sometimes my poems come so fast to me to where I do put them in a system. But the writing part of it that you're stressing is so critical because there is when you skip that step, you are minimizing the process. It's in the process. It's just like saying, if you're going to bake a cake, you don't want to skip, you know, putting some baking soda in there. Okay.
Right.
Because if you skip that baking soda, okay, you're going to have something called flat. Okay. Right. it's not going to work. You got to have, and I love to cook. I don't do a lot of baking, but I love to cook. So You can't skip the process. I had made some chicken cacciatore the other day, okay? And this is a Airbnb house. So the owner's son was, I said, you want some? He said, sure. So he was putting some in a bowl to warm up. I said, you're not going to put that in the microwave, are you? He said, why? I said, no, you're going to change the whole taste of the food. You're going to put that in the skillet, a little water, cover it up, and be patient.
Right. There you go.
Okay. And yeah, the flavor was there. It wouldn't have been there. So, right, you know, the things that you're bringing up in Common Core, that whole dynamic is designed to remove these disciplines and these practices. I homeschool my children when they were growing up. You know, we raised four children. And during that time, it was all about the writing. In fact, they had to write every day something. They had to write a page, right, something. My little daughter, Bethany, back then, and she got smart. So she realized she had to write a page. She wasn't thrilled about writing the page. So she wrote very big on that page.
Yeah.
She would take two and three lines, okay? And she said, well, it's a page. I'll never forget it. It just cracked me up. But to this day, they've benefited from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also a healing power to putting pen to paper. I know a lot of people, I'm good friends with somebody who helps a lot of people heal from abuse and also from in recovery. Putting pen to paper, journaling, all of that, you don't know what's going to come out of it. And I think it's really important that people get back to that and realize that there was a plan behind eliminating that brain to hand from heart, writing on the paper that is healing and is, you know, that's a connection that you have to make.
Right.
And it's real. And it's like, because your brain is moving your hand, you know, and it, like you said, it passes through your heart. It really has. I know many people that, well, journaling so hard, or but once they do it and it becomes a habit, it becomes a lifeline. And I'm a big journaler. I've been for 20 years. So I get that big time. Now, you shared something.
One more thing on the journaling too.
Go ahead.
By them removing this need for us to write, think in the heart, they made the dumbing down process that much more easier.
Exactly.
Because now those who are being exposed to this don't have the development of the tools in order to say, I want to challenge you on that. See, there's something that comes with doing all these three processes because it develops confidence.
Right.
And when you don't have confidence, you tend to capitulate to an argument, but you don't have the tools to challenge and to process that argument. So this is why dumbing down has become more easier. And this is why people want to be a part of the group think. They want to be a part of that fishbowl. Because now, in order to come out of that fishbowl, you have to be willing to challenge. You have to be willing to say, this is why. You have to be willing to go through these processes. But what you don't, you know, you just go back to being a fish. You know?
Right, exactly.
So I ain't gonna say nothing. I know something's not right about this, but, you know, I gotta exist. I gotta survive.
Right. And I know that you homeschooled and we've met a lot of people, and we know at the Reawaken America tour, we have some people that speak about homeschooling, because a lot of people you knew a long time ago, but a lot of parents were shocked to the core when the remote learning. See, a lot of these things, the cabal, in my opinion, did for their great reset, backfired on them. One of the biggest was keeping kids home with remote learning. And suddenly parents were looking, first of all, they were shocked. And then they were surprised, because here's the one thing you and I grew up with and now is missing. They don't teach the arts. They don't teach at remote learning. It's completely gone. Forget the CRT and the dividing, you know, by and the pushing of sexual stuff that shouldn't be in very young children's, you know, minds yet. We got to develop the minds before the choices are made, which is completely upside down. But then it's also the taking out of the arts from school. When I was in school, we still had music. We still had art class, you know, all of that. And that has been removed. And that's why I'm really excited that you're going to be doing an online course, because maybe that's something that parents can work in. People need to know that homeschool isn't the same as public, you know, this bogus Department of Education curriculum. You can kind of bring in for your child, if they have a gift, you can bring in a poetry class. You can bring in an art class now that we have online, but you got to pick and choose. Now, how do you feel about them depriving, you know, two generations now, if not three, of art and music and all of that in schools?
You know, it's a sad situation right now. It's a sad situation, and it's forcing parents to go back to being parents. I don't know other way to say it, because we have embraced this idea that it's all about getting things. And as a result of that, the only way we can really get the things that we want, we have to have two income homes. You know, we have to have, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to ask yourself, what is it costing me?
Right.
And unfortunately, the children are the ones who are paying the price. The children are being sacrificed in order for a lifestyle. And now 2 years ago, we had this thing called COVID to hit. And all of a sudden, people were like, what? We got to stay home? Stay home? How do you do that with children? You know, how do I stay home with my children? I'm used to that on Saturday and Sunday, but Monday through Friday, how do I do that? Okay. Who are you? I don't recognize you at 9 o'clock. You're not supposed to be here.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so it's caused families to have to rewire,
right,
to put together back relationships. And so this whole dynamic is causing people to say, you know what, we realize what we've been missing. And believe it, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So he's made all this to work together. I think God's saying, you know what, the family's becoming more and more divided. I'm going to allow this to happen so that the good that I want to come out of it will be good for the family. It'll be good for the children. I want everybody to go home for a while.
Right. Okay? That's what I think.
I want everybody to go home for a while.
Right. I think these people in Davos and all these overlords that are really running our country right now, that their big goal of everything has been to destroy the family. It's been a big goal of these people. And to take our children away from us, take away the parenting. I mean, we're watching it all over the country with these school board meetings, turning it on the parents. No, they are our kids. You know, when Hillary Clinton put out her now, I think, really demonic book, It Takes a Village, basically that it's not the parents, it's the community, which is then, you know, one step towards Marxism and communism. And that is about, I mean, even Marx himself said, and the loosest trust lady, Alice Bailey, take kids away from their parents and you can control their future and their behavior. And we got to take back. But this great reset switched around. And I believe that much of it, like you said, much of it was people realizing for the first time, having the moment to step back, get to know their kids, their family, but also see a lot of things that they were too busy to see. And like you said, homeschooling, I'm learning, not just from you, but there's a couple other people we tour with, Ann Vandersteel and Rachel Moss and a lot of these people. I would never know in a million years that they homeschooled their kids. But it does turn out that you have the ability to also see your kids' gifts, which is totally devoid.
Yeah, see, now you're talking.
Yeah. And then as the parent, you can really aim your curriculum towards nurturing the God-given gifts of each child individually. And what I'm seeing is from all the people that I have met, actually, they come up to, you know, a lot of people talk to us at the events. And when they tell me, it's like their kid ended up so much more well-adjusted, you know, mm-hmm. respectful, educated, way more educated, but also their outcomes in life seem so much better in terms of also their moral compass, but their work ethic, all of this stuff. And I think a lot of parents are scared to take that leap, even if they want to. What would your advice be for parents that feel like maybe they're inadequate or if they mm-hmm. homeschool, they'll somehow, it'll be the opposite and it won't enhance or help the child, where I think it's absolutely a better option at this point. But what's your advice to those parents?
I can't tell you how grateful I am that you bring up all these topics. I mean, because it drives my heart. And the first thing I would say is when parents feel this way, that is the best indication that their children need to be at home. Because look at what this fear and look at what all this has done to you.
Right.
Okay. God has not given us the spirit of fear. but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And when we understand that, we're able to once again see the truth. Right. Seeing the truth is one thing, but humbling ourselves to it is another. Right. And so the things that we've been exposed to, not only are the children experiencing issues that we have yet to fully understand, because right. a lot of the children are not talking.
Nope.
They're watching, they're observing. They're listening to mom and dad discuss things. Don't think your children are not hearing you when you talk, okay? Believe me, they have feet that can go down the hallway that you don't hear, okay? You might hear it sometimes.
I know, but I was one of those kids. I'd be like, okay, but I heard you say this. My mom would be like,
And they'll slide their phone somewhere just to listen to what you have to say, okay? And because they want to know, right. okay? So I would say, get over yourself. I say this in a loving way. It's not about you. Find out what you have to do. Find out what you need to stop doing in order to do what you need to do. Right. It's called sacrifice, okay? Find out, hey, you might have to take that $40,000 car back. You might have to sell it. You might have to downsize that 2,500 square foot home, right. okay? You might have to make some major decisions and say, you know what? We're going to get off of the city on the hill idea of what success is. We're going to start thinking about home. Where will your children be in 3 years and 5 years? And not only that, look at what's happening. Can't you see what's happening? Yeah. Don't wait until it's too late to make the adjustments you need to make in order to safeguard your home, your family. Yeah. A house doesn't represent a home. A house is a building. A lot of people have houses, but do you really have a home on the inside of it? So that means you have to say, what do I need to do to build back the quality of my family, my home, its sanctuary?
Yeah. Yeah. And also you can, like I said, you can structure, because the parents then think, oh, well, I have to do a 9 to 3. No, you can structure it how it works for you. And then
exactly.
there's also parents getting together with each other.
With each other.
And creating groups.
You cover me, I cover you.
Right.
And let's make this work.
Make it work. Make it work. Take it back. Take our families back. It's part of taking our country back is starting in our homes and our local community. Now you shared with me, is that the General Flynn painting?
The General Flynn poem.
Great.
Yes.
I want to put it up. Hold on. Let's do this. I'm not great at this part of it. Okay. Hold on.
Yes.
Okay. Save. Okay. I'm opening her up.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. And I'm going to do close that. And I'm going to do, hold a minute. I'm going to do, got to do the screen share. Okay.
And I just put the link for those who want to get a copy. One of the things that's important for people to know about this print is that a percentage of this goes to the 13 families from those who lost their loved ones in Afghanistan.
I know, that's a great thing.
So every purchase, we sell the 11 by 17 for $30 on the website, and 25% of that goes to the families of the fallen.
Right.
And then we also actually, we're selling the 24 by 36. We auction those off at various events, and we only are printing 500. It comes certified, a letter of of authenticity,
right.
signed by General Flynn, myself, and the artist.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to figure out the screen share situation. Hold on. Okay. So
you want to go down. You want to go down right below your chin. You'll see a green button that says screen share.
Okay. Screen share. There it is. We got it.
Whoop.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Now, people have to understand that when we saw this in real life, is it up on the screen that you can see it?
I can see it, yes.
Okay, great. Yes. When this happened and you presented this to General Flynn, I saw that he's so great and we've gotten to know him, but I saw him taken aback. There's certain things that, you know, people don't realize until they see them. And I know a lot of people wanted this. I know they sold out at the event, but I encourage everyone to get it. And to please go to your site. But do you want to read the poem?
Oh, you want me to read that one? I would be honored.
Well, you can read anyone you want. But, you know, to me, I love that one. But no, you can read, you know, my favorite one of yours is The Leaves. But whichever you want. But I'd like you to read a poem.
I'll do both.
Yeah, because when you write, when you read your words, it's one thing. But when I watch you speak them, it's a whole different level. So go ahead, take the floor.
Wonderful. And before I read this poem, I want to invite people to register for free for my upcoming Naked Poetry.
Right.
Laying Bare My Heart Before God worship experience. It's going to be featured on Facebook Live.
Awesome.
And all you have to do is go to the website, americaspoet.com. There'll be a link there for you to register for it and share that link with other people this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So for those who are not going to be going out to do trick or treat,
right,
I'm doing it for free. It'll be a way for people to donate if they want. They can donate, but that's an option.
Yeah.
If you want to donate, you can. Yeah, you don't want to miss this experience. It's going to be live stream. It's going to be tremendous.
Is it for all ages?
Yes, it is. Of course. Okay, oh, yeah. Young people, I think it's important. Poetry.
Right. Like I said, the kids don't have art instruction. Mm-mm. And you're
so
you're
see
such
their
a
faces,
powerful voice.
Yeah. When you see their faces and I'm doing poetry, they're like, I mean,
I know.
And you know, I do this on the streets. My whole theme, I'm traveling right now, and I go to downtown cities throughout America. I set up my kungas. By the way, I got one for you here.
Cool. Awesome. And I know it's so powerful. It's so powerful. It's everything. So why don't you, your choice.
The Rhythm of the Leaves.
Great. Oh, I love this one.
Have you noticed the rhythm of the leaves? How they move to the breeze with such ease. Never find them worrying, afraid of the night or the storming winds that come their way. They simply flow, no need to be afraid. They catch the breeze that's for them, celebrate the leaves that share their space. They together create a symphony of motion that's glorious. Just look at them, not trying to be anything, just being themselves and flowing with the wind until their time comes to an appointed end. With beauty yet present, they change colors to bless us. With the season of autumn hues, they cover the earth, giving the soil their soul, the joy soaked in from the sun. May we learn from them and find our unity with each other. It is what we all need. This is what I learned this morning from watching the rhythm of the leaves.
You get a standing ovation for that when we're in these rooms. You know, there's an energy to what we're doing. Man. And that's why I encourage everyone to come to these events. We're both going to be in San Antonio. This is why I encourage people, because there's an energy. And when you give these, you're giving people a moment to kind of meditate when you come on stage.
Right. Right. You know, it does.
Yeah,
it does. It gives people a chance. Information overload. We get so much information, so much fact and true. And it's true. But then the brain needs a chance to go into a different place.
Right.
And the heart needs a chance to become contemplative. And emotions need a chance to be soothed. And that's what this poetry that God has given me does.
But it also, you know, again, brings it to the room. And for the time that you're on stage, I feel like everyone's kind of in at the contemplative, meditative state of why am I here? And then that poem, the first time I heard you say it on stage, I was crying. I think I was speaking like right after. I was like, what?
I do remember that. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I'm crying. I'm about to go on stage. But no, it's really powerful. And that's another reason I encourage people to come. There's something to you sitting behind your screen or even showing up locally. But when you show up en masse with people that truly love God and country and truth and want law and order and justice and our children to be safe and have a better life than we had. And you find people that love the flag, love the Pledge of Allegiance, love our founding fathers, love our founding documents, our constitutionalists. There's something to it in energy that is permeating, not just in the space, which people that do go are changed. It's so crazy how many people I've met that during this were isolated. They felt that they were the minority. People call them crazy or conspiracy. They leave there totally different and make new friends like we have, because we keep meeting up every month, but they make new friends, new relationships. A lot of people over these last 2 years, especially truth seekers, have felt alienated, isolated, cancel culture, all of that. And, you know, I feel like in the period of time that you're on stage, people have that inward moment and then that outward breathing of, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And
Amen.
If you want to read one more, if you want, or
general. Yeah. I'm going to do the, America's General. I want to do that one for you all. I believe it'll be a blessing for those who see what General Flynn is doing throughout this country. And you know, back in the day, we would honor people, but today we tear them down.
Yeah.
And we have to get away from that. We have to come to a place now to where we recognize that, you know, these people are leading,
right,
and they deserve our honor and respect, you know.
Yeah. And what people don't know that we know, and the people that go know, is General Flynn will stand with 5,000 people in line and he will shake every single person's hand and thank them for being good Americans and keeping the faith and keeping the hope. Mike Lindell's like that too. And almost everyone that we tour with regularly, it's a bonding moment, but there's also everyone's given the time to feel special and important and like they matter. And that's a really big deal to me. So let's hear the amazing poem. And people can still buy this, the print, right?
They sure can.
Okay,
they can
great.
Buy it. They can buy it right off of the website, America's Poet. And I know it'll be a blessing to them. So
right.
I'm going to read, let me see. I'm going to do America's General for you all. Give me 1 second. Okay.
No problem. Take your time. I lost you. Your sound.
Hold on just a minute.
Oh, you're back.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Fearless gaze upon his face, resolve of gold within his heart, loyalty of death beyond the rationale of men, a conviction that compels his spirit to stand beyond the stand. For the nation whom he loves, for the people whom he serves, for the anthem of truth, liberty, and justice. He was chosen for such a time as this to represent a fearlessness, a courage, a tenaciousness, a selfless service from God, a depth of conviction that evolved into a resolve to withstand an evil plan, to force him to capitulate all of who he is. Never did he hesitate to manifest a non-contested character, set his soul to suffer. No one knows the shadows of graves, the valleys of pain that cloaked heavy upon the depths of his very existence. He yet found a solace, a corridor of hope within his soul, rays of joy, love, and a splendor that did break forth. Where the culmination of his existence endured a fire that proves, that refines, a heat that is beyond a mere blaze. It is the divine temperature to manifest a rare gold that can only be forged by God himself. Upon the man that he chooses and no one else, he now stands upon the grace of God with renewed passion beyond mere creation, with vision to command the people, with the strength to mount up like eagle, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. He is America's general, a leader of leaders, a teacher of teachers, a man amongst men that inspires, a otherworldly force of courage, not afraid of death, even sacrificed his wealth for his pledge of allegiance to the flag of this nation, with hand over heart, eyes ablaze, feet set, mind attuned, voice pitch with depth of truth. His time is marked, his journey defined by God. Upon his heart, a wisdom is poured forth that he would show forth the mandate for which he was made, to arise, to defend, to protect this land, to compel her people to fight and take a righteous stand. He is America's general, General Michael Thomas Flynn.
Oh my God, it gets me every time. I'm sitting, let's cry again. No, I mean, it is true. And that was such a nice testament to him, and watching him be presented with it and what it did for him also. I mean, I don't know how he didn't cry.
Well, he did.
But everyone else did.
When I first presented it to him, I did a personal video for him. I was in Kentucky. He was traveling. I sent the video to him and he sent me back. The first thing he said, I love you, brother. You know, he said this brought tears to my eyes and the whole thing came together. I got to say, I was invited to this place after the Kentucky event. The gentleman that invited me was at the Kentucky event. We didn't know each other. He said, William, if you want to rest, come to my place. It's really nice. I went to his place. I stayed there for like 2 or 3 weeks resting. Little did I know.
That's awesome.
The day I wrote the poem was that following Tuesday. Little did I know, 2 days later, I would discover that this gentleman who invited me there was an artist. Mel Kay, he actually drew the picture.
Wow.
We did that whole thing in 10 days.
I'll tell you, I saw people lining up that wanted that. Yes. And it's a great gift also for any patriot right now.
People might not realize
what the outside of our circle and those of us that know what General Flynn means right now to the survival of our country and our future. And we both follow him around because he's a fearless leader and he suffered and been persecuted for being the most honest and brave and committed of our generals that we've had in a very long time. And I believe that he will rightfully be back where he belongs, which is as a leader in the bigger sense of the word. And he is certainly blessed by God, as you are. So I will put all your links below.
Fantastic.
Words, and please remind people where they can find you. And again, where they can find your event on Sunday night, which I'm going to be attending. So go ahead.
First of all, thank you, Mel Kay, for having me on your show.
You're my pal.
I've been loving it. It's just great. Now, listen, I want to give a gift to everyone who visits my website. When you visit the website, americasport.com, and you join my email list, you're going to immediately be given a link to one of my newest poems, which is called The Melody of My Life. And you'll be able to download that as an MP3. That's my gift to you when you join.
Oh, I love you. I'm going to put it in the description also.
Yeah, just join the email list. As soon as you confirm that, all that information, you will be able to download that MP3 file immediately. Great. And invite others to join the list so they can do the same thing. Right. Second thing is that the naked poetry, laying bare my heart before God, is a worship experience. God told me, don't call this a concert. It's a worship experience. It's not about entertaining. It's about us being inspired to change, inspired to see who we are, who God made us to be. I'm going to be traveling throughout the country with this event. For those who might be interested in hosting, you can get more information on the website on how you can perhaps bring me to your city. There's a link there for that.
Oh, that's so awesome. And people should really take advantage of that. And, it is a spiritual experience. And like I said, there's a contemplation and meditation that you can't avoid if you're watching you live.
That's right. And
it's amazing. It's a true gift and a good gift that you use.
I do use it. And these are books that I've written. Okay. This is my latest book, Journey by Faith.
I saw that at the last event.
I have Warriors Arise. I did a bike journey throughout America called Astonish. And so these are several books that I've written. You can find all my books online, but you know what? You can also become a Kingdom affiliate. Let me just say this. The distribution systems of today will no longer honor us. It's important for people to become distributors of material they believe in. Well, you can sign up to become an affiliate with Kingdom Distributors.
Right.
It's absolutely free. You make up to 25%. All you got to do is take that link and share it to the people you know.
Oh, that's so nice. And so many people right now need that. Yeah,
they need that. And they need to share this. It's not about so much money, but we need to realize that we have to get our own message out.
Right.
You can distribute any book, all the MP3s, and you will get up to 25%, and it's free to sign.
That's so awesome.
All the information is online.
Yeah, well, I love that. I love you. But I love that because a lot of people right now need an entrepreneurial opportunity, and there is one. Great.
There is one.
Okay, well, I'm going to put all the links below. I could not adore a human more than I do you. You know that. Every time I see you, I run up like, yeah. But I'm going to put everything below. We'll definitely have you back when you're on the road and anytime you want. And thank you. Thank you so much. You are an amazing.
Bless you, okay. Thank you so much.
Bless you, my friend. All right. See you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.